Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. What would you do with $8 trillion? Later this hour, we will speak to a reporter from Bloomberg News, which has been doing an investigation of what the government is really either paying or promising to pay, as part of this whole financial crisis intervention. And it's not the $700 billion in the bailout TARP, so to speak, just that. It's, they estimate $8 trillion, and they will break down why. And we thought it'd be interesting to find out, what would you spend $8 trillion on if you had it? So go post your responses to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we'll speak to that reporter in about 20 minutes. Steve posts, the problem with asking about $8 trillion is that the number is so unfathomable. To put it in perspective, 1 million seconds is 11.8 days. 1 trillion seconds is about 32,000 years. 8 trillion is therefore over 250,000 years. That's in seconds. It can barely be understood. So we'll talk about that too, how to even contextualize or process a number that makes our brains hurt, coming up in about 20 minutes. But here's something that should make your hearts hurt and make your head shake with anger, I think, because Citigroup and other giant financial institutions might be, as they say, too big to fail and thus eligible for government bailouts. But what happens to you, to an individual mortgage holder or credit card debtor, when you need relief? One place you don't want to turn is to a predatory debt modification company. The New York Times had its lead editorial about this yesterday. They advertise freedom from debt, but fail to point out how much it can cost the already suffering borrower. I'm going to read a mailing that has been brought to my attention that's gone out to God knows how many million of Americans from a major institution. I don't know if this is what the Times was talking about or not, but this one from a reputable institution is bad enough. And joining me to help with this is Anya Kamenetz, staff writer for Fast Company, and she's the Generation Debt columnist at Yahoo Finance. She wrote the book Generation Debt. Hi, Anya. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Good to talk to you again.
And I apologize to you, as I am apologizing to everybody, for my voice today, which I thought was better enough to come back on the radio. But I think I'm going to be starting my Thanksgiving weekend a little bit early. So let me read you this thing from the Bank of America, okay? I mean, this is Bank of America. This is not, you know, Joe's check cashing service. It says, a fast way to help pay off your debts with one predictable monthly payment that could be lower than what you're paying now. And what is the program called? It's called Clean Sweep. So at the top of the page, in red and white and blue letters, Clean Sweep. Bank of America. Now, what does it involve? We will set your initial variable APR based on creditworthiness. Then, if you fail to pay your minimum monthly payment by its payment due date on any two occasions within 12 consecutive months, we may increase your APR up to a default APR of 27.99%, which will no longer be a variable APR. So here is Bank of America trying to get people to do a debt consolidation under them. But if you miss your payment due date twice within a year, your rate goes up to 28%. I'm amazed that's legal.
Well, you know, it's really kind of incredible, and there are problems like this throughout the entire credit counseling or so-called, you know, loan modification industry. And, you know, it's really, I think it's targeting people that have already some shame, and there's some secrecy around this, and they may not understand the details. And so, you know, the vulnerability is just incredible.
New York Times editorial was called Return of the Predators. So is there kind of a new generation of predators taking advantage of, you know, people who are in credit shock in their personal lives right now?
I'm not sure that they ever really went away. I mean, over the last decade, the IRS has been investigating these consumer credit counseling services, and they actually ended up revoking the tax-exempt status of a really large number of them. A lot of these so-called nonprofit credit counseling services actually have relationships with banks, and they pay their CEOs very large salaries, and they're actually not really nonprofits at all. So, you know, there's a lot of bad actors in this business, and obviously with the number of people right now who are in desperate straits, they're certainly seeing new opportunities.
And the Times linked the end of subprime mortgages to an expansion of this business, predators finding a new vulnerability, and these companies aren't new, as you say, but they have expanded. Listeners, we want to know what predatory loans that at least you consider predatory have you been approached with? What do you see going on out there? Any tips, any experiences? Help protect your fellow listeners from these kinds of either scams or just risky ventures. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Tony in St. James, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tony.
Hi. As soon as you said Bank of America, I couldn't believe I'm hearing this because I just got done actually berating a representative from Bank of America because I've been getting more and more frequent repeat calls. They're trying to sign me up for credit protection. It's basically a plan where you pay quarterly to them for an insurance policy that if you become a victim of credit fraud, that they won't try to recoup their losses from you, which is something that I've been a victim of credit fraud, and you're not really held responsible unless they can prove that you were a party to it. It's a straightforward thing. You go to the credit reporting agencies, you put a notice with them to let them know that you were a victim, and you give them the information, you know, the credit card people, and they follow up with it, and it's squashed.
And most major credit card companies do not hold you liable for any or maybe $40 or something. But usually it's zero of what you actually get scammed on. Anya, do you know about that kind of insurance, and is it a scam?
Well, I mean, like you said, you know, obviously they target people that have some anxiety about this. Maybe they've had it in the past. It may not be an outright scam, but it certainly isn't necessary.
Yeah. Thank you for your call, Tony. And, Anya, you should see our lines. Our lines are completely full as soon as I ask for these stories. So I'm really glad we're doing this because this is, you know, something that can make people feel very isolated and alone when they get this kind of thing and go, I don't know, is it just me? Do I need to do this? So Everybody's going to share their stories as these calls get processed a little bit. Could you define the word predatory as you use it in this context?
Well, you know, that's definitely a matter for debate, but I would say that usury laws used to define a predatory interest rate at something above, you know, 12%, and now we're seeing interest rates in 20% and higher, 30%, and, you know, that's one very clear definition. And it's also a lot of just the business tactics of these organizations that, you know, the very high-pressure sales tactics, the bait and switch, the home visit, asking for a fee up front, pressuring you to sign something without getting you to read it. A lot of the loan modification companies, anyone that tells you, don't talk to the lender, don't talk to a lawyer, just talk to us. You know, it's almost like a cult technique where they say, don't talk to anyone but us. That's really a red flag.
Jake in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jake.
Hi there. I had something interesting happen to me. It was a couple of years ago, but I made a payment to my credit card, which I usually pay my balance off in full, and they applied my payment twice, and it was for about $1,100. And so I saw on my account that I had this big credit, and, you know, of course, I didn't want to fall into the trap of, you know, just assuming they were never going to find it. But it was interesting when they notified me about, you know, that they found this so-called mistake was just when my holiday bills were due, probably the only time of the year that I might carry a balance, which was now twice as big. And, you know, they wanted to charge me interest for carrying a balance, including the amount that they had mistakenly billed me for. But they're really sneaky. And another thing they tried to do, this was more recent, was they move up little by little. They move up your payment due date. They just do it like 2 days a month, and then the next thing you know, it's due a week sooner than it was before, and you're getting late fees.
Yeah, have you heard of that one, Anya? That last one?
Oh, sure, absolutely. The double due date in a month. You know, the House actually just passed the Credit Card Holders Bill of Rights, which covers a lot of these things. You know, the any time for any reason interest rate increase, the late fees or the on time payments, and retroactive rate increases. So the House has passed a reform bill that covers all of those. It's going into the Senate next year. It's something that, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of energy behind. And it's interesting, Brian, because we started talking about predatory lenders, and we're edging right back into the mainstream credit market because these practices are so widespread.
Joe in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Yep.
My wife and I have been paying our bills on time. We have a large debt to MBNA in terms of credit card, and our interest rate was 19.8% earlier in the year. But since they've reevaluated our credit history, they've claimed that we have high balances, and that gives them the right to raise it to 29%.
Mm-hmm.
This is resulting in basically putting me into bankruptcy because I'm paying 29% on a card that's over $15,000.
You are paying 29%? And
yeah. Basically, you make your minimum payment, which is close to over $500 a month, and you can't keep it up because the principal goes nowhere.
Anya, what can Joe do?
If he's making those minimum payments, he does have possibly an opportunity to, if he either call and try to renegotiate that interest rate. Obviously, they made the decision already to raise it.
I've tried six times.
And have you applied for other credit cards as well?
No. I'm under the understanding that if you continue to apply for credit, it works against you.
Well, I mean, you're kind of caught in a bind either way, but I would say that if you could get access to another credit card and have the ability to maybe transfer some of those balances, it might be helpful to you in the short term.
Yeah. During the presidential campaign, I heard Ralph Nader say that Senator Biden was Senator MBNA, and there's a cottage industry in Delaware regarding interest rates and how they can kind of raise them in this manner, because all your bills are sent from Wilmington, Delaware.
Right.
Joe, that's true. Well, Anya, why is it always Delaware and South Dakota? It's those two states, isn't it?
Basically, what happened was there were usury laws up until the 1980s, interest rate caps in all states, and it was South Dakota and Delaware that first realized that if they were to relax those, and they would be able to have headquarters of their banks there, and that's basically what happened. Now the usury laws have been sort of done away with state after state, but those two states are where it started.
Clifford in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Clifford.
Hello. How are you?
Okay.
When I heard the Bank of America offer, I got a letter from Citibank offering almost, you know, something very similar, actually. It was 5% for 6 months, and it would cost like $85 for the year. But if you missed a payment, it would, you know, shoot up to 28%.
Right.
So I think all the banks are, you know, trying to get in there and get their, their take.
Right.
It's just very, very similar, I think, probably.
So this is what the industry is doing, because you've described it just about exactly the way that Bank of America thing is. It's advertised, and it's so misleading, Anya, because it's, and my guest is Anya Kamenetz, author of Generation Debt columnist for Yahoo Finance, and a staff writer for Fast Company, as we talk about these predatory-seeming credit card company offers. This, you know, the Bank of America thing that came to someone in my building, it says clean sweep, Bank of America, a loan amount of up to $50,000, decision in as few as 10 minutes. Important, it says, important. You have been pre-qualified. You're pre-qualified for up to $50,000. And then, dear person in my building, there's never been a faster, easier way to get the extra credit you need. And then it advertises, it has a box showing how if you do your debt consolidation under this program and you have different amounts of debt, if you are paying at a rate of 8.99%, and I don't even know if that's very good for debt consolidation. Maybe that's okay. You tell me.
I think it's okay.
But 8.99%, then it shows you how moderate your payments appear if you stretch your debt out over 72 months or 96 months or some other options here.
Right.
So it calculates the whole thing at 8.99%. But then it says really what you're going to get is a variable rate depending on your creditworthiness. In addition to the fact that if you're late on two payments, it goes up to 28%. So it's not even the standard rate that it appears to be. It's seeming to entice you with that and then saying it's going to be a variable rate.
Well, I think it's important to remember the banking industry's overarching agenda here, which is that when people declare bankruptcy, and bankruptcy is becoming obviously an epidemic once again, when you declare bankruptcy, the bank doesn't get anything. And so their overarching interest is to keep people basically treading water as long as they can and keep them in the debt situation. Now, bankruptcy is not a perfect solution for anyone, but it's important to remember that if you are, in fact, eligible for bankruptcy, these kinds of workouts and consolidation loans are helping the bank more than they're helping you.
Mark in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark.
Hi there. I've had a number of credit cards do the same thing over and over, and I've even had to contact the Federal Reserve about this. If they move your payment due date to a Sunday, you can't pay them on a Sunday. They will not accept payments on a Sunday. So you do it electronically, and you pay it, let's say, on the Friday before the Sunday that it's due. They refuse to acknowledge that payment, even though, of course, in the end, after spending hours and hours and letters, they will change it back to not a late payment, but a payment. But how many people can afford to spend hours and hours trying to get rid of that $39 payment? And when I went to the Federal Reserve and complained about it, they said, oh, we did an investigation, and they said, the bank said that they paid. I said, well, what was your investigation? Well, we asked the bank. I'm like, but they've done this to me more than once. Well, they just made a mistake.
I can confirm that story, Mark, because that happened to me once where I tried to make an electronic payment on a Sunday that was the due date, and it got credited to the Monday, which was considered late. And I also got them to reverse it. But you had to take the time. It's like battling with the insurance company when they don't cover something.
The federal government, now that we're giving the same banks that are doing all this stuff billions and trillions of dollars,
what
is the recourse? Where are the lawyers? Where are the sheriffs to tell these guys, no, you can't do that, and it's criminal?
Mark, thank you. And Anya, where are the sheriffs? And with all these bailouts being given to banks and with the new version of the Paulson plan today, really targeting bad credit card securitization from the standpoint of the trouble that it's caused the banks and bailing them out from that.
Right.
Don't they owe the people something in terms of some kind of relief or at least better regulation?
You know, it's really maddening, and I just want to, you know, mention again the credit card holders Bill of Rights, because it's a bill that's died before. It's passed the House now, and it's possibly going to be in the Senate, and it does correct a lot of these abuses. Of course, they're always coming up with new ones. I think that at least in the mortgage industry, there's a little bit more of a chance of people getting a fair shake when it comes to foreclosure workouts. But overall, I mean, we can see that the banks are getting a much better end of the deal right now.
Bernadette in Weehawken, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bernadette.
Yes, hi, Brian. I always love your show.
Thank you.
Two quick comments. What happened to the Bank of America caller two callers ago happened to me with Chase over one payment that was made didn't make the due date, but made the statement closing. And B, I wanted to comment, whatever happened to the Budget and Credit Counseling Services of New York? They were the only consumer debt relief agency that was licensed by the state of New York, as I recall. And they used to advertise all the time in the subway, on the radio stations, and they were good. I used them in the 80s, and I paid off credit cards with no interest. Mm-hmm. They were really good, and they worked with all sorts of difficult credit card companies.
Anya Kamenetz, are you familiar with that?
I'm not sure of that one specifically, but the best national resource is the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. They can usually steer you to one that's active in the state and in the city.
National Foundation.
Yeah, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, because there are a lot of fly-by-night operations, even some that are called nonprofits, are not. So that's NFCC is a good place to look.
And we will put a link to that in particular on our website, because that sounds really good to go to. Anya, before you go, we've been asking people, what would you do with $8 trillion? And we're going to talk to the person who calculated or was involved in calculating this $8 trillion figure in terms of what the government is really allocating to financial crisis relief. But you will like this one that came in on our website from Marissa. It says, I would pay off all the student loan debt and offer free tuition for university study. Why should people with mortgages get all the benefits? So
thanks.
There you go. Anya Kamenetz, staff writer for Fast Company and the Generation Debt columnist at Yahoo Finance. We could have continued this, you know, for hours and hours. So we will have to follow up. And just at least we have let people know that they're not alone out there, that there is a credit card user's bill of rights, and people should, you know, people should be up in arms. People should really be contacting your representative. In fact, I'll throw one more in on you. This is comment 5 on our webpage. It says, we can thank South Dakota and Delaware for that 23 or 27% interest rate, as you described before. In one fell swoop, Obama could really fix the economy by bringing laws back in line with morality. Any powerful Democrats from Delaware, can you say Joe Biden, and South Dakota, can you say Tom Daschle, that you could think of to call about this Barack. So there you go. And Anya Kamenetz, it was worth coming in to work sick today just to have this conversation because I think it was so important. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. What would you do with $8 trillion? Karen writes, I would give $250 million, no strings attached, to President Obama's reelection campaign. That's a little early, Karen, a little premature. Someone else writes, homes for the homeless and people earning less than $40,000. David T., it's all about information, and I would give every single citizen in this country access to it. Laptops, PDAs, etc., all at broadband speeds. And if the total credit card debt is just $900 billion, why not just buy up all of America's credit card debt? Ha ha, since we are so spend crazy. That will certainly jolt the economy. We'll break down that $8 trillion figure in a minute.